To better follow along with the Sober Eating Workshop, we suggest you download the forms that go with this workshop. You can find them at sober.oabirthday.org.
Real quickly, we're not going to take a break because we're going to try and power through this because we want everyone to walk out of this room. If you do not already have one, we want everyone to walk out of this room with a sober plan of eating if you want to have that. So I have about 15 or 20 pens. I know people, we should all bring pens, but we don't always remember. So if anyone needs a pen, raise your hand. I have a finite number, but I'll try and get them to everyone, and we'll keep going.
Do you want to do this part?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. While they're passing out the pens, I just wanted to say that the boutique is on your way out toward all the other things, and they're having a last day everything must go sale, and like it's like bags of things for $5. If you would please go in there and see if there's something, great gifts for you or a friend or something, but it really helps them so they don't have to schlep the rest of it out, but there's really fun, great things in there. Thank you.
And that's, of course, go there after the workshop.
Yes. After this.
I was about to give her the elbow. Okay, here we go.
So at this point, we would like to for someone to volunteer to bring up that handout, and we're going to work out a sober plan of eating. There you go. There we go. Come on up. Bring your paper with you.
While she's coming up. If you don't have either of the sheets, we're out of copies, but they have these wonderful things called smartphones that have cameras on them. So just take a couple pictures of it, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can see me afterwards, and I'll email it to you.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Tim. And you are?
I'm Renee.
Hi, Renee. This is Adam.
Hi, Adam. Good to see you again.
So here we go. Put your sheet up here. Oh, my goodness, she's already got it filled out. You were not paying attention, were you?
No.
Okay.
So this takes a lot of courage because you're in front of like 125 people and you're exposing to us. I said it takes a lot of courage. You know, it's one thing to talk about like sadness or other things, but Renee is talking to us and exposing for us what it is she struggles with in that sick way.
God, I wasn't nervous before.
Right? No, but I really want to highlight what's going on now. Because for me to have this conversation, I can tell you anything about me. It's much easier. But to actually, every time I give up a food, it's like every time I finish a meal, it's like a funeral. I have a mini funeral, right? So the idea of talking about that which I'm gonna surrender. If I really, and if the commitment has meaning, right, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
So, and she went ahead here and filled out a lot of these. So, we'll start off here at the top is your alcoholic foods. And again, we talk about the alcoholic foods is once you start eating them, you do not want to stop. You're already looking for the second helping. And so, Renee here, you want to go ahead and tell us what you did?
Yeah, thank you very much. One of the things I know is sugar of any kind, and it's like even the sugar-free sugar has dextrose in it, and that's very risky for me. So sugar, there's one Oreo is not enough, and a factory is never going to be enough either. I mean, one is too many and a factory is too much. Anything with flour in it, and that means any kind of flour. It can be almond flour, rice flour. If it's flour, I can't have it. It triggers me. And then mixes of things. Animal fat with salt. That nice little edge of fat around the ribeye. Now I'm preaching to the choir. The skin on chicken when it's seasoned. It's like I did that in Howe for a long time. Because I can have two pieces of chicken, right? This big, right? Any of the nut butters. Peanut butter, nut butter, even if it doesn't have sugar or salt in it, the mixture, the fat in it, it gets me. And then food mixes. If I get too creative with food, it gets very sexy, and that becomes ease and comfort. Oh, look at this fancy, beautiful food. And that becomes my ease and comfort. And like I said, for me, I have to be careful because this is a progressive illness for me. And so food that's not neutral like broccoli. I've never binged on broccoli. Well, unless I put a bunch of Velveeta cheese on it. But the broccoli wasn't the problem. So I have to pay attention because this is a progressive illness, and I've been very sick with this for a long time. Some foods that used to be safe, slowly over time, I have to let go of and put them down. Otherwise, they become part of my disease. So that's the alcoholic foods I can't have. All right, go ahead.
So you filled this out before, so what is new on this list? I mean, you've been around for a while, and this is what I heard. So what is new on this list that it is going to be changing what you've done prior to this point?
Well, for me, my BS has been, oh, yeah, sugar and flour, I'm abstinent. I'm technically abstinent. But if I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to get honest about animal fat and salt and that mixture. And it's deadly for me. And popcorn is another one. You would think I'd take it off by now, but no. It's like I've been fighting with that one, and now I'm willing to admit, yeah, popcorn, it's got to go.
Okay. So what I'm seeing is no sugar of any kind, salad dressings, anything like that. Flour, which is pasta and breads and all those, right?
Yes.
Okay. Popcorn. Peanuts. Now, does that include peanuts? What do you call it? Does that include peanuts?
In any form.
Okay. And when you say food mix, because what we don't, vagueness is what we're trying to get rid of. The vagueness, when you say food mixes, are you talking about adding what into what?
It's like taking my 4 ounces of protein and my 4 ounces of grain and my 12 ounces of vegetables and cooking them and mixing them in a way with herbs and seasonings that I'm starting to obsess about the whole process of being into the making the food, making it pretty, putting it on the plate, where I start, that becomes my ease and comfort, because I was taught in a visionforyou.info, we learned there that the doctor's opinion is so important when it says that I'm looking for that ease and comfort. And if I'm looking for ease and comfort in how I'm preparing my food, what I'm eating, and how I'm eating it, I can't lean in two directions, guys. I can't lean on God, and I can't lean on self at the same time. I can only lean in one. And if I'm looking for ease and comfort around the food, then it's got to go. So I have to pay attention about how creative I get with food.
Okay.
That's what I mean about food mixes.
Okay.
Of these things, you alluded to it. What don't you want to talk about in front of a group of 125 people? What's the thing that's hard to talk about? Because it seems pretty easy. What is the thing that you don't want to talk about when it comes to this? Because it's flowing.
The next section is the one that's the hardest part for me. But as far as talking about this, getting honest, because it's now I've got 125 people, a lot of them in Southern California, who may see me out in the world.
Right. And I say that because arriving at a place where I'm willing is very hard.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very hard thing. So what we're doing here is to access freedom, right? I have to surrender. And surrender is not a light subject for me. And for me and the people I work with, it's really, really, really hard to make the commitment and to own that I have to change, because I want to protect my right to eat. I want to protect my right to do the sick behavior.
All right. And I think the other thing that I would add too, it's the honesty is the biggest problem for me. It's getting honest. It's like, if I don't see it, you know, if I don't talk about the struggles I have with some of this stuff, if I don't tell my sponsor, then it doesn't have to go on the red light list. Right. And that's the hardest part, is being able to get honest with myself. So
this is a futile exercise, right, if I'm not going to be honest. So I can window dress this, and I can come up, walk out of here with a whole great paperwork that I don't acknowledge. I'm capable of that, right? So I encourage you, if you're not willing, it's probably not worth it to do it. I'd rather hear you say, I'm not ready and I'm not willing, because that's honest.
Okay. So the eating behaviors and attitudes that trigger the obsession. So you said this was going to be the one you don't want to talk about. So please tell us what you have on the list.
All right. Eating in the car.
Eating what in the car?
Anything, even my abstinent food. Eating in the car is while driving. I mean, I had an accident eating while driving and pizza falling on the ground before I got into recovery. So, and it's hard to talk about the behaviors because I can hide those. Behaviors aren't going to necessarily make me gain weight. So if I gain weight, I won't gain weight from the behaviors, and that way you won't know that I'm sick. And then I can hide. And that's what's hard, is to own these things that I do that trigger the mental obsession, that get me to start thinking about and then eventually pick up. So
what are the rest of them?
All right, eating in front of a TV. Skipping meals, so important. Because when I skip a meal, it's like, oh, I get to have double the next meal. And my sponsors taught me that you skip a meal and that meal's gone. You don't get it back. Because it's not about losing the weight. It's about the peace and serenity around the food. So, and also eating fast. And then big mouthfuls of food. I mean, I don't know about any of you, but I could probably eat my abstinent lunch in probably 5 bites. And that elusive sensation of having a ton of food go down my throat at once, just opening up my otherwise tight throat from all the stuff I didn't talk about when I was a kid and for the rest of my life. I can't talk, but I get to eat this food that opens up my throat, and that's ease and comfort for me that I don't have to find in my relationship with my Creator. So, and then eating when upset. That's the other one, is that if I leave the office and I'm mad at a client, the first thing I want to do is rush home and pull my absent food out of the refrigerator and throw it in the microwave, and 3 minutes is too damn long. You know, and so I'm learning new things, like how about if I come home, no matter how I feel, march myself upstairs, take that shower, because in the shower is a great place to meditate. I don't know about any of you all, but I meditate in the shower, and get connected again before I go down to take that meal. It's very powerful about not eating when upset. But it's time-consuming sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds time-consuming. I don't do any of these things. I eat in the car. I just eat my abstinent food in the car. You know, none of these trigger in me the obsession. It's the food that triggers the eating behaviors. It's very important for me, is that I can eat. We used to see the guys at breakfast. It is funny watching. I mean, we are done in no time whatsoever. There was once or twice there's guys that came in that were slow eaters, and they just didn't last. You know, they just didn't last. But those in me did not trigger the obsession. It is the top thing, these foods that we're putting down. I'll eat my abstinent foods extremely fast. My daughters tell me to slow down. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But it's not something that I've been able to do as of yet. Really what is triggering the obsession is what we, you know, and it for us, at least what we find, it's the foods that we have to put down that are triggering that obsession.
Well, I can only speak from my experience, and I know that when I eat the foods, that triggers the phenomenon of craving, and so that's very physical for me. And then the mental obsession is the thinking about, when am I going to get to eat it again? So, like, I'll eat abstinent food in the car, and it'll be gone so fast that I'm sitting here thinking, well, when do I get to eat again? And when do I get to have that again? And then, did this make me fat? Is this going to work? The head just starts to spin. And when my head's spinning, that's mental obsession, and that's what these behaviors do to me.
Okay.
And that's how I explain that. Reaching out for food decisions quickly. I have a registered dietitian, nutritionist that understands the concept of food allergies. I've explained it to her, and she now understands it. And so we plan food accordingly. What should this 5'1" woman be eating to be healthy? And with that, there's no debate. I don't have any more debate. And it's too easy for me to talk to a sponsor or talk to sponsees.
How long have you been working with her?
I started working with her 6 months ago.
Okay. So why are these things still a problem? Because I'm sure she's not telling you to eat sugar and flour and animal products and food mixes.
And that's the thing. These aren't the problem anymore. They're gone now from my food plan now.
Oh, and they weren't gone with her?
They weren't gone with her.
Okay.
But before, because of the way I worked this program before, sugar and flour, that's good enough. I'm technically abstinent. And then I would binge out on volume. And she
okayed that?
No, she didn't know about that yet.
Oh, she didn't know about
she
that.
Came in afterwards.
Okay. Again, we're just trying to get as clear as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the program tools that help support my sobriety, of course, has been going through the 12 steps. And then living with steps 10, 11, and 12, which takes the form of my 10-step turnaround when I'm disturbed. I pause throughout the day when agitated. In the mornings, I wake up and I do that review, ask God to divorce my thinking from selfishness, self-centeredness. I do my meditation. And then at night, I do the review and ask forgiveness and ask God to show me where I can do better. Exactly what you see in the big book. And then also take naps.
And any outreach calls? Because, again, it looks like to me that you're doing it on your own. There's you've discounted your sponsors and sponsees. The only person that you're turning to for help is Tony, your nutrition. How is this program – these are great, but we'll never do them on our own. How is other people, others here – how is that helping you out?
Let me bring that out. The 10-step turnarounds that we do involve an outreach call to another member, either recovered. Mm-hmm. It's two phone calls, really. It's like when I'm disturbed, I go through the 4-9 process. I make that outreach call to a recovered person to talk through it and take it all the way through step 9 to see if I have an amends. And then I go to share it with someone who may not be recovered yet to tell them what my experience was. So it's constantly about building a network of fellows that I can reach out and do those 10 steps 24 hours a day. I got people on the East Coast I can call. I got people in Israel I can call. I got people all over. And then meetings with fellows and also eating with fellows is very helpful. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of contact that I have. The people that sponsor me and that I sponsor, we're together a tribe, and we really stay close. When you talk about the herd concept, keep people close. It's been key to my recovery.
Excellent.
So this
the food plan for the rest of the day. I'm guessing most people have had breakfast by now.
Yes, sir.
So as far as the rest of the day, what does your food plan look like for the rest of the day?
Well, for me, lunch consists of a 4-ounce protein, two vegetable protein, which is basically a 6-ounce serving of vegetable, and one fat serving, which is a teaspoon of fat.
What's fat?
Oil, olive oil, butter. Any kind of fat like that.
Okay.
Except not the fat on the skin of the chicken or the outside. That doesn't count.
Oh.
They can't have that at all.
Okay, so just a real quick question. How do you add this fat? How do you know it's just one thing of fat? What is that? How does that look?
I measure it, and I carry with me a small scale, beautiful okay. scale I found on the internet, and I weigh and measure my food.
Okay. So protein, vegetables, and then you just add olive oil or add butter to it?
If it hasn't been cooked in it, I'll add like a teaspoon of oil, like to a salad, and with a little bit of lemon and salt and pepper.
So dressing and then the, what do you call it?
No dressing, just the 1 teaspoon
okay.
of fat.
All right. So and then for dinner,
Protein, and then that'll be the one grain choice for the day, mm-hmm. and a vegetable choice, and then also another serving of fat. And when I use fat, I cook a lot of food for myself, so I will put a teaspoon of oil into the pot, and then I will go ahead and throw in my vegetables and season them, and try to keep it very simple.
Okay, and then you have as a snack.
There's one snack I have in the middle of the afternoon. I take lunch at noon, and I usually don't get off work till 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll either have a 12-ounce of cold-pressed juice, or I will have a piece of fruit, or I will have another protein serving. And that's how
and
it's laid out.
Protein serving, what does that look like as a snack?
It's a half cup of Greek yogurt. It can be a half cup of cottage cheese. It can be a 1 ounce of string cheese, something simple like that.
Okay.
So when we do that, right, some of you may be thinking, oh, we're just doing, we're at a registered dietitian's office, right? And the spirit of this, again, is what is going to help me to be free, right? For some of us, it's going to look different than others, right? But it's all about freedom and not negotiating and not being, because vagueness keeps me sick. So how am I going to be free and be have a mature sobriety, right, versus a just more controlling and enjoying?
I just want to make one more comment, is that, you know, there were points in my recovery because I was so sick that weighing and measuring became the obsession. And it became the, is it over the line on the scale, under the line if I look this way? And it became a real crazy making. And so there was a time I couldn't weigh and measure. And then now in my life there's a time I'm willing to weigh and measure now because I do now get that freedom because I'm not obsessing. I now understand that this food plan and measuring it is about freeing me from the mental obsession, and that having a food plan with a registered dietitian allows me to see, okay, this is the food that a human being needs. I don't need any more food than this. There's no more room for argument or debate. And now I can move on with dealing with the things that I don't want to deal with, like the checking account that doesn't balance, the relationships at home, the relationship with the boss. I am the boss. but to work on the things, when I'm not busy with all that food stuff, I now have time to do that morning meditation. I have that time to review at night, and I have time to pause throughout the day. So thanks for
having me.
Thanks for
thank you, Renee.
We're going to break out into groups. And again, this is about how do I access the power that I don't have? Lack of power, right? Right? So in doing this exercise and doing it honestly, how am I going to find the power I didn't have? How are we going to do this, Jeff?
That's a good question. Okay, hi, I'm Jeff, a compulsive overeater. You've met Adam and Tim. I've been working with, staying 6.5 years, been working with Adam and Tim. Tim is my sponsor, and he's right. He's not really a very nice guy. But I love him because he saved my life and he doesn't bullshit me. Okay? Because he tells me the truth and it's hard to tell the truth sometimes. And I've lost 110 pounds. Mike?
Hey, Mike, a postal leader. Hi, so I have about a year and 3 months with these guys and down about 40 pounds with them and about 105 from my top.
I'm Chris, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chris.
I am just over a year and a month actually in the program, and I've lost 90 pounds in the course of that. And this was the approach that I do daily. This is my work Bible. I don't know, food thing.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. What we'd like you to do is take these worksheets, and we'd like you to start filling them out now, or in about 30 seconds, actually. What we're going to do is we're each going to come around and help you look at your plan and to honestly assess your plan. We're going to have to do it in a very express way because there's a lot of you. And, of course, we want you all to be willing to look at this as a way to do this. If you're not willing to do that, we understand. Just let us know and we'll move on to the next folks. So what we'll do is this. Chris, you're going to take – we're going to divide the room into four quadrants, okay? So, Chris, you're going to take that back quadrant. Mike, you're going to take this – right? You're going to take here. I'm going to take that backside. Tim, you'll take here. And Adam is going to do the he's going to go around the edges. Okay? So if you guys would be so kind as to start that up, and we'll be appearing at your table shortly. There's one thing that I've been noticing as I've been working with people around the room, and I believe the other folks have come up to the same thing. One of the things we talk about is weighing and measuring and making sure we know what's going in our body. We don't count calories because that's about negotiation, but we do weigh and measure our foods. And some people are talking about, you know, having 2 ounces of protein, or they're not putting the amount of protein that they're having. And there's a big difference in the food plan if you're having 2 ounces of protein, which probably won't support an adult human being for any length of time, and having 42 ounces of protein, which is way too much food. So we want you to think about what a reasonable amount of protein is. Most women come to something between 4 and 6 ounces of protein. Many men come to someplace between 6 and 8 ounces of protein. It's your choice, and you should make that, but don't make that choice alone. Make it in concert with someone who's eating soberly if you have what Adam and Tim and the rest of us are finding. So Adam and Tim have, and the rest of us are in the process.
process of finding. So it's an important thing when this exercise isn't just about throwing foods down. It's about figuring out how you're going to eat, how much protein, how much vegetables, if you're eating grains or starches, how much of that, if you're eating bread, how much of that. It's about quantity as much as it is about quality, because we want to create a plan that we can replicate day after day after day, no matter what.
I think we're going to wrap it up, but I just want to say that I hope for those of you who participated in this, and that you, whatever goes on now, that my wish for you is that whatever problems you have in life and whatever you're struggling with forever, right, that food not be the problem, right, that life be the problem, not food, that second step after this is about sanity, right, and sanity starts with the food. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, so please join me in thanking Adam and Tim for leading this morning. Chris, Mike, myself, Adam, and Tim will be around. If you have any additional questions, there is a closing ceremony that we urge you to participate in. If you need numbers of some of us, grab us before you leave. We'll give you our numbers. Thank you very much for participating in the program today.